The next time you're on Interstate 80, stop in and see the folks at the Iowa 80 Truck Stop at Exit 284 in Walcott, Iowa. They're always open and ready to serve you. Enjoy a sit-down meal at the Iowa 80 Kitchen or grab a bite from one of their 9 quick-serve restaurants. You'll love their clean restrooms, huge gift store, beautiful convenience store, and, of course, the Super Truck Showroom stocked with plenty of chrome, lights, and more. While you're there, don't forget to visit the Iowa 80 Trucking Museum next door. It's free. The entire team at the Iowa 80 is very excited to celebrate 60 years with you. They look forward to being your home away from home for another 60 years. Sending you a giant thank you from Iowa 80, the world's largest truck stop on I-80, exit 284 in Walcott, Iowa. Iowa 80.
It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show from the Uniden America Studios. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the planet, we are Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning. Here we go. We've made it to Thursday. Woohoo! This is really interesting. It was an article in Fox Business yesterday. U.S. economy at risk of becoming a banana republic if Trump goes to jail, ex-White House economist. I think that if you look at the case in New York, that the judge is being so undemocratic, unconstitutional in his rulings against President Trump, it really looks to the world like there's a conspiracy to put him in jail behind bars, said former Council of Economic Advisers Chairman Kevin Hastert Tuesday on Fox Business. And if President Trump is in chains going to Rikers Island, then would you want to buy a U.S. Treasury bill the next day? Wow.
You got to ask the question, because if those who, you know, the prospective buyers of Treasury bills are looking at, from, you know, from the outside, you're looking and going, my gosh, this kind of instability, how far could this go? Because you have to have that same consideration that many people have, and that is, how far would it go? If this is allowed to happen, then it will be never-ending, and we're beyond scorched earth. And for foreigners that are looking, quite possibly, or considering buying Treasury bills, they say, I don't know that I want to touch that, because that kind of instability could lead us to who knows where.
If former President Donald Trump has to serve jail time in New York, former Council of Economic Advisers Chairman Kevin Hassard warns markets will tank. The thing I'm worried about, really worried about short-term risk for the economy, is that the Democrats are serious in this lawfare. And if they actually succeed, then imagine. It's like we become a banana republic the moment they take him to Rikers. And I just can't imagine what happens to Treasury markets the next day. Markets will take note, Hastert argued, of potential jail time for Trump, and it'll be one of the biggest market effects we have ever seen. Wow. Yields go way, way up and equities go way, way down, he added. If you're a Swiss investor and you're thinking, should I buy a U.S. bond, and you see Trump going to Rikers on ridiculous charges, right? then you're not going to want to buy those bonds. Now, here's the point. If it ever gets to the point where he's found guilty, will he get bail for an appeal? And then that's the thing. You're talking about local prosecutors. You're talking about Democrats that I believe would want to go hog wild. But then I do believe the courts will straighten it out. The courts are already, you're seeing on a variety of different issues. You're seeing on the documents, classified documents case. You see what's going on now. The Georgia, the Georgia legislature is going to be looking into, whether Fani Willis should stay as prosecutor. I think although that's going to be delayed more. We saw that the the classified documents one has been delayed. Who knows if you're ever going to see that one. And this really is a case that is viewed as very, very, very poor. And will markets still look at it and go, okay, the courts will straighten this out, that it's not a banana republic yet? I don't know. I don't know how they'll look at it, because if you get to the point of, I even thought this the other day when it came to the judge saying, okay, he's in contempt of court, send him to Rikers. Or even if he said, okay, you'll be put in jail, but it will be at home, ankle bracelet, whatever. Just that imagery going throughout the world on charges on a crime that don't exist. That's right, the thing.
Right. Yeah.
It's not like he did something that is obvious in the criminal statutes.
Well, that's it.
There isn't a crime here. He didn't commit a crime, even if all the evidence, because all the evidence that they're talking about in the court doesn't relate to any crime.
For potential investors of Treasury bills, you're going to get to the bottom of it to determine, all right, is this a viable investment? What's at the basis of this? And that would include going through the whole legal process of how it came to be. Because you want to know, has the U.S. become a banana republic? Or did he actually break a law? The first thing would be, what was he charged with and what is the law? And then you come to that conclusion, even from the outside, you come to that conclusion very quickly and you see, oh my gosh, he didn't break a law. Bragg just threw all these indictments at him and these charges against him without breaking the law. Well, that's banana republic. And if Bragg is successful in doing that, I don't know even that, because even if it's believed that the market, let's say the market prices it in that, okay, we think that on appeal he'll probably come out victorious, that Trump will actually win this on appeal. I think the market has to be concerned right now about the attempt. You know,
and now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. There's a lot more yawning these days. Have you noticed that? Yeah. And the bad thing about yawning, it's contagious. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I do know that's true. You see somebody else yawn, all of a sudden, you got to yawn. Do you know what helps to curtail the yawning? How about a great night's rest at Motel 6? Book online at Motel6.com. Use the code CPREDEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a price you will love when you use the code CPREDEye. That's the letters CPREDEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel 6. And help curtail the yawning. That's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Bleav Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
there were a lot of people, because you and I have been doing this for a long time, and how many times were we told that the things that eventually came true, you guys just going down this wacko conspiracy theory of a slippery slope, it's not going to happen. And we said, well, no, we're not conspiracy theorists. We don't do that. We're just looking at the logical, you know, how the dominoes would fall if you get to this particular point.
Right.
And the fact that we are even at a point where it hasn't been, that it hasn't been thrown out, that checks and balances, this is the worry of other countries. Checks and balances aren't working at this point. These are right. completely bogus charges. And not only do you have a failure of the prosecutor, but you have failure of judges. You have rogue prosecutors and now rogue judges. And not only do they have them here in New York, but you've got them in Georgia.
Yeah.
And then on the federal level, you've got Jack Smith. Then you've got Biden getting off. Oh, we're not going to prosecute him because he's a feeble old man.
Yeah.
Right?
Because
that's what they said. They were making the point we should prosecute him, but he's a feeble old man, so we won't.
Right.
So one side doesn't get prosecuted, and you and I have made the case that what Biden did was worse because Biden had no authority at any time to have those classified documents
right.
on his person. And this went on for decades upon decades through different federal offices that he held where he had zero authority to have anything, and he still did for decades. He doesn't get it. Trump does. They're going after him in four different courts.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing makes sense. You know, even you go to the insurrection. You know, that's not, you know, there was no insurrection. There was no insurrection charge. And then you see how in different states, it's not just one state. It's not just the state of New York. You can look at the state of New York, the Letitia James and that suit, which is asinine, but that's a civil lawsuit. Then you go to the New York and they're still getting away with it because the trial's still going on and the judge should have shut that thing down. So you see outside nations see rogue judges, rogue prosecutors from the state level and the local level in New York. And then at the local level in Georgia, then at the federal level with the Department of Justice, obviously playing the two-tier system of justice, and countries start wondering, how safe is the United States? These are things we never thought we would see in the United States. And the courts may shut it down, but you don't see any hesitation at all from Democrats to promote this. And then you can continue and go on. Look at the number of states. Look at the rogue states that attempted to bypass the Constitution that were defeated 9-0 by the Supreme Court.
Right.
Now, that might be viewed by the other governments as like, okay, that shows that there is, you know, there is that checks and balance with the Supreme Court, because that was 9-0, and it shut down the absolutely partisan and unconstitutional effort from Colorado and others to keep Donald Trump off the ballot. But it is worrisome because you've never seen this kind of lawfare in the United States before to this extent that is so obvious. Then take on top of that, we're not even done yet. You take the whole Russia collusion thing.
Yeah.
You're a foreign country and you see this, how that went on for years. And it was actually a Hillary Clinton setup, and how the entire infrastructure of the federal government, it never got known for the longest time what was going on, even though they knew inside what was going on. You see, as a foreign government, you see Adam Schiff, who lied over and over again to the American public while he actually was on the House Intelligence Committee, and he lied over and over and over again, and what he did was absolutely reprehensible. They set up the Trump campaign. Somebody should have gone to jail for that. For the money that was moved, the money was actually moved. They actually had campaign finance violations in there. They actually got a FISA warrant. Somebody should have gone to jail for that FISA warrant, and nobody went to jail. And so you have foreign governments look at this and go, my God, there is a two-tier system of justice. The federal government is full of bureaucrats. And then you see not only that as a foreign government, the instability of, you know, you wonder the instability of the American institutions. And then you see that inside of our government, the anti-Semitism that exists in there, the letters that were written, the president yesterday, the anti-Semitism, the pro-terrorism aspect of Joe Biden and the Biden administration. And I got to tell you, you're a foreign country. You're an investor looking at the United States and you're going, what the hell's going on?
Well, it's completely unstable. You understand that the interest rates aren't attractive enough right now to get on top of the inflation. So the economy is unstable. You have the makings of absolute chaos all around. And that's a problem. They're not willing to get their fiscal house in order.
The border.
They've turned into a banana republic. Their borders are wide open. They're letting criminals get away with crime. Why would I invest? That's completely unstable. I don't know that I want to put my money into that.
Well, I'll invest in the U.S. because Canada is worse.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a consideration on every level.
I just said Canada's worse because of the free speech law that they've been talking about. Mm-hmm. They're also going there. And,
right.
You know, almost the, what do you call it? What was that movie called? With the women floating in the water. Minority Report.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The precogs
and being able to go back and look at anything you've ever said to see if there's any retroactive hate that you've ever put forth that could actually get you jailed.
Right. By the way, that movie was fake for one reason. None of the precogs had wrinkled skin from being in that water forever. Forget everything else.
Well, they had the Dove dishwashing liquid in there.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Someone brought that up the other day to me, and they go, remember the dishwashing detergent with Madge?
Palmolive.
Like, it was Palmolive. That was Palmolive, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, thank
yes.
Palmolive.
I'm
like,
soaking my head. Look. Here's what we'll do, guys. We'll convince women that they're actually soaking their hands. That'll convince them to do the dishes.
Hey,
guys, who's with me, guys?
That was a great ploy to keep women in the kitchen.
Exactly. It's like,
we'll improve your hands in the dishwater.
And then the husbands are going, no, that's not for me. I can't use that. Guys don't soak their hands.
Right. We have
Sorry, honey.
We have rugged calluses.
Yeah, I can't do the dishes. Oh my gosh.
That was real hidden sexism and misogyny,
exactly,
wasn't it?
Exactly, right.
In a Palmolive commercial.
Yeah.
And innocent Madge was selling it.
All the marketing people. All right, guys, how do we do this?
I have an idea.
How do we keep them in the kitchen?
Exactly.
Tell them
the soap is actually good
for their
skin.
It's a preamble to a beautiful manicure.
Right. And then next we can tell them they can rub the bacon lard on their face. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
All right. The show's off the rails now.
It is.
866-90-RED-EYE.
This morning's USDA Farm Report is brought to you by Howe's Products. Tested, trusted, guaranteed since 1920.
In terms of recruiting and retaining employees,
the Farm Service Agency has struggled.
Steve Peterson is Associate Administrator of USDA's Farm Service Agency, which has over 2,000 county offices that run many of USDA's farm programs. USDA was once the top employer, the employer of choice in rural areas.
But ultimately now when, you know, McDonald's and Walmart are also paying or maybe even paying better than some of our entry-level positions,
then it makes it hard to recruit and retain workers. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack has called for the federal pay system to be upgraded to get salaries up to what they would be for similar jobs in the private sector. Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
This report brought to you by Cenex Fuels and Lubes.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. You know that the story out there about the former council on economic whatever, blah 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 blah.
Uh-huh.
Who came out and yada yada yada? Who came out and said, "Look, if Trump goes to jail, there's going to be a lot of countries that and businesses that don't want to invest in the United States because."
Right.
The message being sent out is we're a banana republic. It made me think that if, you know, the Supreme Court is looking at immunity for a president, and remember, they pay attention to what's in the news, and you see that, again, clearly unconstitutional gag order against the president.
Yeah.
And the judge, who we all know, is a Democrat, that, number one, the problem I have with it is if there seems to be more protection for the prosecution, as if the prosecution's case is what must be protected and the defendant's rights are not.
Right. Yeah.
That there isn't a same presumption of innocence with this judge or with this court with the actual defendant. That's what bothers me the most in it. But when Trump said, because I believe you get full immunity for anything that you do when you're in office, but when you're near this situation now and they're going after Trump, what is the immunity for a president or an ex-president if a rogue court is going to come after you for something that isn't a crime? Will this make the Supreme Court, and I don't know how they would frame it, but give the president or an president and or ex-president more immunity after they served? Based on what you see now, is clearly a rogue court and a rogue judge not protecting the rights of a defendant and then threatening to jail him for denying him his constitutional rights. Just a thought. If it's in my head, it's got to be in their head.
Yeah, sure.
To Red Eye Radio from the Uniden America Studios.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning. Download our Red Eye Radio app today. You can listen when and where you want. All right, some other news items out there. A new poll shows 81% of college students want anti-Israel protesters to be held accountable for the chaos they have caused in recent weeks on campuses across the United States. 81% of college students say the protesters who destroyed, vandalized, or illegally occupied campus property should be held responsible by their universities, according to the Generation Lab poll conducted between Friday and Monday. A majority of the surveyed 1,250 students oppose the protest tactics, with 90% against blocking pro-Israel students from accessing campus, 67% against occupying campus buildings, and 58% against defying university administrators' orders to disperse. The students ranked the Israel-Hamas war as the least important among the nine major issues presented in the survey, instead viewing health care reform, educational funding and access, and economic fairness and opportunity as the most pressing issues. More than 2,000 have been arrested on college campuses after weeks of anti-Israel demonstrations. So there you go.
Mm.
Find that interesting. So
I would like to talk to the 19%.
Well, no. What I'm wondering, no. This we want them punished because this isn't an important issue. What are you going to give us? Yeah. It's about me, not about them.
Right.
Because that's what it seems like. The most important things were educational funding, which means pay my college, economic fairness and opportunity. Economic fairness. What a dumb. It's just so
economic fairness.
It's just so dumb.
Oh, it's Gary. I mean, our generation, our father's generation, and all the generations before us have always had economic fairness. What is economic fairness? What does that even mean?
That everybody should benefit.
No, the left and the left media throws these words together in to try and build some kind of nobility. We strive for economic fairness. To me, I just hear moronic words. You know,
why aren't you for fairness, Eric? Everybody should be for fairness.
Yeah, I am. I'm for all the fairness that favors me.
No, I am for fairness. No, I look at the Bill of Rights and I say, no, everybody should be treated, should have equal rights. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't see economics in
equal rights. Yeah, rights. Yes.
I don't see
fairness.
I don't see economic fairness, though, in the Bill of Rights anywhere.
No.
I didn't see.
No. No, it doesn't mean anything.
Well, it's the same thing. Isn't that that is the biggest unknown, is the definition of fairness.
Well, no, it also is usually followed by the word equity.
Well, when you
equity in the economy, which means what? An equal outcome for everyone. That's never been the case.
Well, they've never, ever, the left has never, ever defined fair share.
Right.
And by the way, the rights tried to get them to define it.
Right. You say fair share. Well, I'll know it when I see it.
No, sorry, that's not good enough.
Well, I mean, talk about that kind of equity in the marketplace, in the economy. Go ask Sears and Kmart about that. You know, I mean, I think about that often. Companies that have been around for a while, the story got out pretty quickly. Sam Ash Music, that's been around, the company's been around for 100 years. I've shopped there when I had to broadcast from that tool closet in my house during COVID. The equipment, much of the equipment that I bought there. Love it. But the company is closing down, according to all the reports, and they're starting kind of the liquidation in their stores, the clearance sales, that kind of thing. But when you think about a store that's been around or a company that's been around for 100 years, now they're not a household name like Kmart or Sears, but if they've been around for 100 years, they did a few things right along the way. But it doesn't, you know, there could be something that comes in and all of a sudden it's over. COVID, whatever it might be. And this idea of this fairness is taught, by the way, at these universities that help to create these radical minds. You talk about equity, well, that means equal outcome for everyone. There is no such thing.
Ooh, I put in the definition, economic fairness, for the definition in Google. You ready for this?
All right.
Because you said, what did you say? Right after fairness comes equity, right? Mm-hmm. This is the definition, the first thing that comes up. And it's from fairness, meaning, and examples and assumptions. Mm. In economics, fairness refers to the proper, end of quote, distribution of resources to those who need them. Another way to think of fairness is equity. However,
told you.
This is my favorite part of the definition, though.
All right.
Because not only do they tell you what the definition is, they tell you what the definition is not. However, it is important to note that fairness is not the same as efficiency.
Oh, that's where it gets complicated, right? Now you're separating reality from this delusion. Because you have to break down all of the principles of an economy, all the different elements of an economy. And there could be a number of driving forces in terms of demand for a product or an industry or whatever it might be. But it doesn't matter. That mindset, we demand that we get, well, you don't get anything. But it's no surprise because we've created a couple of generations that have been indoctrinated to believe that they do get it just for existing. That you get a grade just for showing up. Shake your head, yes, you get a passing grade. That's all you... Look, we don't need to keep score anymore. And by the way, you don't need to pay for it. We'll just give you this. Well, reality kicks you to the curb repeatedly. And if you're being taught that in your life, whether it's a parents or friends or whatever, and you're learning that, then you learn those lessons and you start to adapt as a young person. But if you're fully indoctrinated, you believe you're going to walk out into the world and it's going to be handed to you, and then you start demanding it. It's not going to be there. We talked about this with the whole hope and change thing with Obama. You know, in 2008, after the election and this euphoria that went far beyond electing the first black president, it was about what? Look, he's going to do this. He's going to do that. One of the most, I think, ingenious campaign slogans ever, because it was a blank slate for everyone. It was a blank canvas. Paint your idea of whatever hope and change means. And everybody had this different idea in their mind, and they just thought it was all going to happen. By the end of his 8 years, they were going, yeah, the guy didn't really do that much for us.
Well, the difference between economic fairness, the reason it's not in the Bill of Rights, is because economic fairness means that there is some bureaucrat who will decide how much money to take from one person and give to another person. And that doesn't happen in any of the rights that you have in the Bill of Rights.
Right.
My freedom of speech does not take away from your freedom of speech. And when my freedom of speech takes away your right, then the left believes that's the correct way. But it's not the correct way. But that's the problem, is the whole economic, you know, the whole concept of economic fairness is based on the fact that a bureaucrat will decide what is fair for you. So proper becomes, you know, look, let's look at the debate in California over reparations, which is about what? Fairness, right?
Mm-hmm.
What the left views as fairness. Well, my gosh, let's look at the table of what the left thought was fair. Everything from zero reparations to $200 million each.
Yeah.
That's a pretty wide disparity. That's a pretty wide, you know, I'm looking here, like my hands are really reaching out. Zero to $200 million, that's a wide definition of fairness, is it not?
Pretty grand scale.
Now, in order to get to even what they viewed as what the majority figured was of the groups thinking reparations was like $1 million or $5 million, it would still bankrupt the entire state. They couldn't afford to do it. So fairness became someone rewarding a very small minority of people who actually themselves were not firsthand victims, but it would be government saying, you get this, and we destroy the economic viability of the state.
Right.
That was viewed by the left as fairness. Most people would look at that, and that's even California said, okay, by the way, this was never about money. Newsom.
Yeah.
This was never about money.
Yeah. Why are you guys always talking about money? It's never been about money. Actually, that's where you started.
And he was able to get away with it. I didn't hear any criticism towards Newsom of that.
No.
Maybe there was in the state of California, or maybe privately from some of the people who worked so hard to get some of the amounts for reparations up to $200 million per person.
Well, maybe that's also why he ranks below Kamala Harris in the polls. Part of it, at least.
You really have to work at that, don't you?
No, you got to go out of your way.
To be below Kamala Harris in the polls.
No, that's an effort.
Especially when you have slicked back 1980s Pat Riley, L.A. Lakers coach hair.
Mm-hmm.
That really, you really have to, you really say, I've got to really suck at my job because, hey, who else could pull off having lower approval ratings than the idiot vice president?
Well,
here I am. I'm Gavin Newsom. I'm slick. I talk very clearly, but I'm full of manure, and everybody knows it. And I really had to work at getting lower approval numbers than Kamala Harris.
You know, he can, if he ever campaigns to run for president, he can start with saying, look, I've accomplished things that no one ever thought were possible. He might not want to mention that particular one, but technically he would be correct.
But I just like how he tries to, he's coming out lately with, I got a little victory here. Oh, tourism. Tourism is up. See, people want to come to California. Well, no, actually, we fact-checked it. And in your report, actually, Gavin, you should read your own report. The report says that actually, after inflation, it's down 14%.
Well, that and the liberal media also trying to help him out going, well, we found two people moving from Austin to California. It's not always people moving from California to Texas. Yeah, it is mostly.
And these people said we can't stand the weather or the fire ants.
Right. We don't like those things. Plus, freedom. We don't like so much freedom. It's liberty.
I want to be controlled. When I'm controlled, I feel very secure exactly. That somebody else is in control of my life.
Exactly.
Because I'm not really an adult. I'm right. A child. I'm a liberal Californian. I'm a child. Please take care of me. Please give me my security. Please give me my warmth.
Mm-hmm.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carlin. I'm Gary McNamara. I would guess that the Republicans are going to make huge news out of the president and the CNN interview yesterday saying that he doesn't plan on arming Israel.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
I mean, that's just going to – that to me is going to go – that's going to go crazy. I was amazed at social media, the number of – when I saw Jonah Goldberg and his column where he just said, and he's a never Trumper, and he said, I've never seen this because all these people are anti-Trump and they are just so negative by now after that announcement yesterday.
Yeah. And I don't know how you turn something like this around.
I know.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, it's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on. Right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? Can you pay me more?
Jeff Smith teaches on the sliding scale.
Those Weekend Golf Guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker. Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a 3-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.